Well, good morning to each one. It's good to be here with each one of you this morning. And thank you, Brother Ed, for sharing on Job. It's not, like you said, it's not very often that we look at it from that angle. We just kind of look at the experiences that Job had and, you know, see what we can learn from it. But looking at the details like that, it brings a different perspective that I never seen before, and I really appreciate it. And it was a real blessing. And this morning, what the Lord has laid on my heart, it's not something that I am sharing on or speaking on just because I feel like I've reached some level of perfection in it, but rather it's something that I feel like God is working in my life. And I realized it even more once I started digging into it and studying it myself, you know, just how much more needy I am in this area. And it's something that affects each and every one of us, from the oldest to the youngest. And this morning, what I feel like the Lord has led me to share on, and that is simply living in submission. And that's something that, like I said, it's something that I struggle with, you know. Whether it's obeying the laws of the land, whether it's submitting to my brother, but the biggest thing and the most important thing is, am I submitting to God? Thank you, Titus. So just a little bit of a look at the word submission. The word submission is the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. And so, like I said, you know, that could be us as brothers or as individuals, you know, human to human, but most importantly, it's to God. You know, when it says superior force, you know, I think of God and his power and his love, his will for each one of us and for our lives. And, you know, the submission is not something that comes naturally. It doesn't come naturally for me. I don't think any one of us would claim that. But submission is something that comes when we're filled with humility. Submission is could often be a sign, or I'm sorry, pride. Lack of submission can often be the evidence of pride in our own hearts. You know, if we're having trouble submitting our will, our ways, our desires to God, I think we need to be checking our own hearts. That's something I found in my life. You know, if we can't submit, there's pride. We think we got this under control. We think we know where we're at. We think we know what's up. But we really probably don't in that moment when we're filled with pride. Submission is something that should be a part of each one of our lives as children of God. And if it's not, I think we better be scared. All authority comes from God, the creator of heaven and earth. And we are commanded in the Bible to submit to him or to submit to God. I'll just quick turn over to James 4. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. James 4, verse 7. It's talking here, humility cures worldliness. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And it goes on to say about drawing nigh to God, and he will cleanse our hands, purify our hearts. But this here is where it's just one aspect or one place in the Bible that it tells us that we are to submit to God. We are to be in submission to him and to his will. Once we come to a place of submission to God, it's going to cause all the other areas that we might experience or that we might see submission. Once we've submitted to God, our highest authority, recognizing and following the chain of human authority in this world becomes easier. Because if we can submit to God, it allows us to more easily be able to submit, you know, to other people's will. And another thing too that I came across or that stuck out to me in my studies as well is submission to God's authority brings freedom. That's where we can find freedom, is if we can submit ourselves to God. If we can submit, it sets order and direction in our everyday lives for those who are found in Christ. And I don't know if we would say just those who are found in Christ. I think it's going to be more prominent. But I do think that if we can find ourselves, even if we're not in Christ, I think if we can learn to submit, it goes a long ways in setting order and direction in our lives. You know, you think of the worst criminals, if they can submit to the authorities and to the powers that be, it's going to probably bring more order in their lives. But getting to that place of submission is not as easy as it can be for a Christian or for those that follow Christ. And if we can come to that place of submission, what follows is unimaginable blessing for those who are obedient. And obedience comes out of submission. And I want to look at, I have a couple different examples I'd like to look at, but the one I thought that I wanted to look at first, and I think is probably the most important example, is, and that is of the example of Jesus. We look at his example there. I feel like it was a perfect example of his submission to his Father, to God. Just turn over to Luke 22. Luke 22, and I'm going to read verses 39 through 46. And this here is where, you know, prior to this, they were plotting to try to kill Jesus. And then where I'm going to be reading here is just before he was crucified. It's a prayer in the garden. Verse 39, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." So I'm going to cease reading there. But the verse I really wanted to pull out there was verse 42, is where it says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me, away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So here we see that submission to his Father. You know, I don't think, you know, he came to the earth, humbled himself, came to the earth as a man, and then he's being asked by Jesus, you know, to submit his will and to go through this for us. And if we just put ourselves in that shoe, you know, how easily or how hard would it have been for us to face that same thing? And he had, you know, if we read on the whole story of Jesus' crucifixion and stuff, he had the ability at his fingertips to get himself out of it. But he chose to submit to his Father because, number one, he loved his Father, but number two, his love for each one of us. And it's through his submission and his love for us that we can experience the gift of salvation in each one of our lives today. I just turn over to Hebrews here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 10. And this here again is speaking of Jesus. Christ's death fulfills God's will. Therefore, starting in verse 5, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure." Then he said, "Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." Previously saying, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." Then he said, "Behold, I have come to you to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And you see it two different times there. Once in verse 7. "Then I said, Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God." And then also again in I believe that was in verse 9. Yes, then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." And this is just a couple verses, you know, that stuck out to me that I was, you know, that I read and was studying, and that I know there's others too that we can pull from. But I just wanted to look at a couple of those, you know, to bring out just how much submission that Jesus had in his heart to his Father. And to me, I think that sets a perfect example for each one of us, you know, how we should submit to God, how we should submit to those in authority, how we should submit to one another. And also want to turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, I'm going to start reading in verse 34. And this here is where Jesus is speaking about the bread of life. Verse 34, Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 38, so it really stuck out to me, "For I have come down from heaven." I mean, we talking about the splendor of heaven and the beauty and everything else, but he chose to submit, chose to surrender to his Father's will, and to come down to give us that gift, to sacrifice his life. So Jesus, like I said, I think is the ultimate sacrifice. But then moving on, there's other Bible characters as well that I want to take a little bit of a look at that I think also give us a good example as well. And the next one here that I wanted to look at is Abraham. In Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19, and it's the account there of when God asked him to sacrifice his only son. 22, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 19, I guess. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here am I. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad, or on anything, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And so there, again, I feel like it is another beautiful example of Abraham's submission to God. You know, we see that God calls on Abraham and asks him to go and sacrifice his son. This is the only son that him and Sarah prayed for a long time. And he took, you know, he went through a real journey of trusting God and putting his faith in God, you know, to have that son. Well, he gets this son, and now God's asking him to offer him up as a burnt offering. He doesn't seem to be any hesitation there. I see a submission to God's will, even though he felt like this was a gift that God had given him that he waited for so long for. And then on top of it, then you see him going, 3 days just to give up his only son. I'm not sure. I would ask a lot of questions, and maybe Abraham was asking questions. It doesn't really say. But for me, I would have asked a lot of questions, and I would have really struggled to submit in that area. If God was asking me to do that, I would have struggled. And it's possible Abraham was struggling more than what we read here. But I just felt like that was a beautiful, beautiful example there. Another one that I want to look at is Moses. Moses is, you know, I see as another example of submission. When God asked Moses to go to Egypt and lead the children of Israel out of captivity, you know, he began to make excuses in Exodus 4. He began to make excuses that, you know, he wasn't fit for the job. You know, he's not good with words. There were so many different excuses that he gave God, and God just, it seemed like God just kept popping his bubble every single excuse. And finally, Moses came to a place of submission where he finally was able to submit to God. And I'm not going to go into reading in Exodus there for sake of time. But when he finally came to a place of submission, that's when he said, "Okay, God, I will go. And that's when he went back to, I think it was his father-in-law, if I'm not mistaken, went back to his father-in-law and said, "Can I please go? I need to go back, check on my brothers there, see if they still live." And he said, "Go, and the Lord bless you." And so it was at that point then that he chose to submit to what God was calling him or asking him to do. And it was because of that surrender, that submission to God, that the children of Israel were brought out of captivity. And when I was reading that, you know, of Moses, you know, how he was pushing back, you know, and thinking he's not fit, when, and then also looking at the next one here, which is Jonah, I was made to think of how much it sounds like myself. You know, we can think of every excuse why we shouldn't submit. Why we should do what God's asking us, why we shouldn't do what God's asking us to do. But if we can see here in the story of Abraham, he went and he did. He was going to surrender, he wasn't going to submit, he was going to sacrifice his son. And you see at the end of the chapter there, the last couple of verses where it says about his children being as the sand of the sea, he was blessed. God blessed him because of his obedience, his submission. And yeah, like as I said, Jonah is the next one that came to my mind. Jonah's example of choosing to submit to God as well. But again, our human reminded me of myself again. You know, God asked him to go to Nineveh to preach to the people there. It was a wicked, wicked city. And Jonah knew that. He right away, his first instinct is he's going to run away from God. He doesn't want nothing to do with it. And if we look then, later on in the chapter, maybe it was in the next chapter, I think it was in chapter 3 or chapter 4, I'm not sure now, that he admitted to God then that he did not want the people of Nineveh to survive. He wanted to see them destroyed. So here we see his will versus God's will doing this thing here. And so his way was just, well, let's just run away from it. Like, you know, I'll get away from it. But God didn't let him go that easily, thankfully. And I don't think God lets us go that easily either. I'm thankful for that. But so then God, you know, the whole story of Jonah there where they threw him overboard. The whale swallowed him. It was at that point then that he was humbled. It was at that point then that he was able to, I think that's where the submission began. I'm not sure if he was completely submitted, because it was then after he was out on dry land and then after he went and spoke, preached in Nineveh, that he admitted to God, he was angry, and he admitted to God that he was wanting them to be destroyed. He wanted to come back from Nineveh and just sit there and watch them be destroyed. And that was not God's will. So I believe when he was in the whale's belly, I believe that was the time when God started working in his heart and bringing humility and working that submission in his heart. But he did, coming out of the whale's belly then, you know, then he did, God asked him again. And Jonah did go to Nineveh then, as God was asking him. So he submitted to God in that. And then we see here that, you know, obviously the surrender to God's will, the going to Nineveh and speaking or preaching and telling them of the destruction that was going to come to them, that God's will was accomplished. And the people did repent. The king repented. They went in sackcloth and ashes and repented. And so while Jonah maybe wasn't completely perfect in his submission, we still see the somewhat of a submission to God's will and going and doing God's will, and God's will was still accomplished, and his people were saved. And so I was made to think, you know, reading of Moses and Abraham and Jonah and all those, looking at those different examples, I was made to think, you know, am I living in submission to God? And I could have put all kinds of practical applications to that. But when I was studying, I was sitting there applying some of this to my own life, you know, looking at different areas that I can submit. And that's my desire for each one of us, not that we sit here and apply it to somebody else, but I want us to look at our own heart and ask ourselves, ask God, I should say, is there something in my life that some will, some desire, something that I'm going after that I need to be submitting to you, or that I need to come in submission to? Is my will in submission with God's will? Or my desires in submission to God's desires, what God desires to see in my life and in each one of our lives? Or does God have a purpose? Does God have a purpose for my life? Do I know what that purpose is? Am I submitted to that? Is it not quite as rosy looking as I'd like to see in my life? Am I submitted to that purpose that God has for me in my life? Let me just turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, I'm going to read verse 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Verse 21 there is the one that I really wanted. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does my will enter the kingdom of heaven. Or who has done the will of my Father, I'm sorry. Am I doing the will of the Father? Am I submitting to that in my life? And the next point, if you will, that I want to look at here in submission, and this one here is probably one that all of us, well, I shouldn't say all of us guys, struggle with. And that is submission to those in authority. And I was made to think of, you know, the rules of our land, you know, the president, the governor, we have the police, we have the, and this is, like I said, this is something I struggle in. I think most of us guys, we like speed, okay? I do. So, if we're going to tell, yeah, let's be honest. There's speed limit signs on the road for a reason. You know, because that's the speed that they want us to go. But I tend to just drive what feels good to me. You know, hey, this is a wide open road. You know, I'm going somewhere. I'm feeling good. It's a beautiful day. Wind is down. You know, let's roll. That can be very much my mentality, and I can enjoy that. But where does this whole submission to authority come into my life? It comes a lot closer home, I think, sometimes than we actually want to admit, or than we want to allow it. But it is a commandment. It is a commandment in the Bible that we are to submit to authorities. You know, even if there's some of the craziest laws out there, you know, it can be really tough. And I'm not sure, I don't want to... It's one of those things in this day and age, because there's a lot of rules, there's a lot of laws that seem to go against God's design God's desire. And so we need to sort through that carefully. But I want to just turn over to 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 13 through 17. It's talking about submission to government. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So here we are very simply asked to submit to authority. And that being said, I believe there is times that we might face more of in coming years. But I think even now we have to choose between what man is asking us to do and what God wants us to do, what God's will is. There's times that we have to choose to do what God wants us to do rather than what man is asking us to do. However, I believe it's still God's will. I believe it's still God's desire that while we have to do what God asks us to do rather than man, I think it's God's desire that we still have the spirit of submission. We can show that in our actions, the way we relate, the way we come across when we say, hey, you know, we have to do what God says rather than what man is asking us to do. It's the spirit. We have to have the spirit of submission even in those times. And the next one here that I wanted to look at, and that is submission to one another. And this here, I think, comes directly. You know, we look at Jesus, how he submitted to his Father, his submission to his Father. He set that example for us. And we as Christians are commanded to submit to one another out of reverence for God. This is not for man's sake, per se, but this is for God's sake, for God's will. It's God's will that we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And I was made to think, you know, how I think all of us as Christians need to submit to God on an individual and spiritual level. But then I was thinking of how the husband, you know, I wasn't going to get into the whole wife submitting. But I think we're going to have a message here sometime on marriages. And I'm not going to harp on that. It is a command in the Bible. But how God, each one of us on a spiritual level, need to submit to God, but then looking at it from the standpoint of us as men submitting our wills, our desires to God, and then we see the women submitting to the men, and then the children, this is where I was saying from the oldest to the youngest, then the children are asked to submit to those that are in authority over them, submitting through obedience. But we as Christians are commanded to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm going to just turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. I'm going to read verse 15 through 21. Starting in verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So again, this is submitting to one another out of reverence or out of fear for God. The other thing too that we see here that comes out of or can come out of submission to one another, and that is it can prevent selfish pride from cropping up. And it fits well with the command to consider others better than ourselves. Am I submitted enough to my brother or sister to put their will or desires before my own? That's another one that really comes close home for myself. You know, there's many different areas that we can have our desires, our wills, and they might be good. There might be absolutely nothing wrong with them. But that is something that we need to have submitted, first of all, to God. Then also, I think it takes a submitting to each other. And I was thinking about it in relation even to, like, relating to our wives. You know, maybe I told my wife, I was like, the wives are asked to submit to the husbands, okay? But I said, I kind of like to look at it in the aspect, too, that the husbands need to submit to their wives, too. I mean, I don't want to take it out of context, but I'm thinking of the whole thing of submitting our wills and our desires. There comes times where we need to, it says, I forget where it is there, it says about dwelling with our wives in according to knowledge. And so I think there's a certain amount of submitting our wills and our desires for their sake. Kind of a sideline, but Philippians, I'm going to turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And again, as we see there, that brings out the whole thing of humility. If we don't have humility, it's going to be very hard. It's going to be a lot more difficult to be able to submit. To put our brothers or put others' interests or will or desires before our own. If our purpose on earth is to do the will of God, then submitting to someone else becomes an act of trusting in God. It's really what it amounts to. In closing, I would just turn over to two different verses here, but first I want to turn to Matthew. Matthew 12, and I'm going to read verse 46 through 50. And this here is speaking of, I'm not sure where Jesus was speaking exactly, but I believe it was his disciples came in and said to his mother and his brothers are there. So starting at verse 46, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you. But he answered and said to the to the one who told him, "Who is my mother, or who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And so we could see this here is kind of an example of if we can submit ourselves and we can do the will of our Father, we can be a part of God's kingdom. And then for the last verse here, I want to just turn over to Psalms 143. Psalms 143, I'm going to read verse 10. "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." That's my prayer, and I think that should be each one of our prayers. Let's ask God to come and to dwell in us. Let's ask God to help us to do his will. And that is my desire. I want to do God's will in each and every area of my life. I want to be an example of submission to God's will, submission to my brother or whoever it is. I want to be an example of that to the world around me, but I want to be an example of that to my wife. I want my children to see that in me. There's nothing more disturbing. I don't know if I should say more disturbing, but it bothers me, you know, sometimes how we as men, we can be so stubborn, we can be so caught up in our own selves and not seem to see our children sitting there watching this, and they see a whole lot deeper into our heart than what we even realize or imagine. And so may God help us to be an example of submission and surrender to God. Thank you.